No. Don't do it. Can't have it. So the inability to negotiate and reach agreements with owners also protract and increase what we call our litigation expenses. Projects can also be stalled if acquisition of land can't be achieved, and then causes delays as a result of our friend John Donato in the procurement process when we can't get our procurements for our land acquisition services. So let's talk about our process. Here we have our land acquisition timeline, and we'll talk about the first piece here. Our designers identify our right-of-way. They determine what's appropriate, what's needed. They identify it. They prepare the plats. They prepare the legal descriptions. Then the tollway will order title commitments, which is our second piece here, and the title commitments will determine ownership. The value of property is obtained by appraisal. That's our third piece. Each parcel that the tollway acquires or is interested in is appraised by an Illinois State Certified General Appraiser. Appraisal services, title insurance, those services are procured. When we get that appraisal report will come in and it will be reviewed. And that review is by a review appraiser who is also a state certified general appraiser. And what we do through our process is we encourage the owners to work with the appraiser through the appraisal process to provide information in connection with valuation. After the appraisal process, we go into the negotiation process where we provide notice of the intent to acquire to each owner, and our negotiator makes every effort. We work very diligently to sit down and meet face to face with every owner in person to negotiate the offer to purchase. During these negotiations, we receive any relevant information from the owner. The offer will not be less than the appraised value as determined by the appraisal. Excuse me. We also provide the owner what we call the written requisite 60 days to consider the offer. And in through writing that letter and sending that letter, we send it by certified return receipt requested to the owner, and that letter provides the time frame with which to conclude negotiations. Relocation, those are assistance and benefits through a program that we provide. And that provides the relocation, reestablishment of persons and businesses impacted by our tollway projects. Anyone that occupies a dwelling or a business that we are anticipating acquiring and is there and occupies that premises or business for a period of 180 days or more is defined as displaced. These benefits are not rights, they are not guaranteed. Displaced persons must apply for and qualify for these benefits, and we have a negotiation relocation specialist that works very hard with these folks to make the appropriate benefits provided. The Toll Highway Act indicates we must comply with the Uniform Relocation Act of 1970, has been amended from time to time, and the implementing regulations of 49 CFR Part 24. Displaced persons will not be required to vacate the premises before receiving yet another letter, which is called the 90-day letter. So we have various contacts throughout our process with each and every owner or displaced person. Some of the relocation costs, moving expenses, connection to utilities, counseling, and locating replacement property, reestablishment expenses, mortgage or rental assistance. Now, if you see on the slide, you can say that these phases or processes take considerable time. It's not an operation where the property is identified and we can just rush out and acquire the property. We have a distinct timeline that we must follow. We operate within that timeline, and that's what causes Paul a lot of agita or indigestion, where he has to come to my office and get some Rolaids. So the timeline is very... It's not short. It's not a short timeline. what happens when we use all our best efforts to reach an agreement, to negotiate a purchase with an owner, and those efforts fail? Or in the case, which we're finding out with some of our 294-57 pieces, we are not able to locate the owners. The tollway has eminent domain powers. However, before exercising those sorts of powers, we must show several items. For example, we must show that the negotiations we conducted were in good faith, that we did in fact provide the owner the 60 days to consider the final offer, that the improvements are in fact necessary for a public use, that the funding for the improvements are in place. The tollway is represented by the Attorney General in all our litigation, and we often use approved outside counsels called Special Assistant Attorney Generals, and they represent us in these court cases. These proceedings are a court case, they proceed as a court case, and they are initiated by filing a complaint for condemnation. It's the jury that determines what's just compensation. The tollway also has quick take authority, as provided for in the Eminent Domain Act. After we filed the complaint, or actually the Special Assistant Attorney General filed the complaint, and David signs the complaint, we would motion the court for what we call an immediate vesting of title. Then the tollway would have to pay what's called preliminary just compensation. Then the only thing that's left in the case is what's left as far as dollars and cents are concerned, and what we call the final just compensation award. We go through the process to have the court find reasonable necessity for the acquisition. And in doing that, they have a hearing, and they hear the necessary evidence to make a finding on the amount of what we call the preliminary just compensation. And through those hearings, it's generally our appraisers and our condemnation engineer who will testify. It's through this quick take process that provides the mechanism to secure title when immediate use of the property is needed for Paul and the respective tollway projects. After the tollway obtains title and the possession and we receive possession, the case proceeds like any other court procedurally. And that's pretty much the encapsulated, quick Reader's Digest version of land acquisition. So if you have any questions.
So apparently eminent domain is a longer, more drawn out process. Quick take basically is an expedited process. You said we have the authority. We don't need to go to the General Assembly for authority. The tollway has the authority for quick
yes,
take?
Yes, we do. It's provided for in the eminent domain. It's under one. We're bound by the Eminent Domain Act, so we file our petition for condemnation, and it's the same procedural as any other condemnation through any other agency or municipality. However, what we do have is what we call the quick take power through the Eminent Domain Act, and that enables us through that condemnation case to proceed and motion the court in that case for the immediate vesting of title.
What percentage of property owners fight? Don't take your offer?
I'm new to the tollway gamut, but I understand the tollway has a very exceptional condemnation rate. I believe after the 355 expansion, it was somewhere in the 30% range. So that's really a very good rate for an agency that does the sorts of projects that we do.
Meaning that we get to some resolution and don't have to go to condemnation in 70% of the.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is to try, even when we do file, the goal is to secure negotiation so that it actually doesn't go through all the way through adjudication.
So 30% litigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, that's our figures.
One of the challenges I foresee is basically with the downturn in property values, you have a lot of people in these homes that have lost a lot of value, that have been there for an extended period of time, and they're not going to be able to regain that because we need to take that land for the tollway expansion. How do we compensate these people if they're going to say, well, if I stayed in my house an additional 10 years, I could recoup the value, my property value is going to come back 10 years from now, but you're cutting me short, I have issues with the bank. How are we going to deal with that?
Well, we don't cut short. I mean, that's one thing that we are not able to do. We can't bargain with an owner for a lesser value. So if an appraised value comes in at X, we have to offer the appraised value. You know, if it, as you say, the appraised value is less than, say, it was 10 years ago and there's equity absorption, we would have to clear title. And in order to clear title, if the home is only worth $100,000, let's just say, and that's what our appraisal states and that's what we approve through an appraisal, we will pay that dollar sum. But then we will have to clear title and ultimately end up paying the bank.
If there's
an outstanding loan, say, if the property is 100 and there's a loan on the property for, say, let's say 200.
So we'll pay the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you very much.
So one of the things, directors, that Joanne made reference to where board activity will come into play in this process is an ongoing identification of parcels which are on her team's watch list for potential acquisition in the very near term. So we will periodically be bringing parcel IDs to the board to basically acknowledge. That's not only good practice, it's actually required by Illinois state law, which we certainly want to embrace and not look to shortcut. Joanne and her team have counseled me that there is some timing sensitivity with this activity. So when parcels are identified, in some situations they will need to be identified in an executive session overlay very soon thereafter to be made public, but it may be a case where Joanne and her team are still making final consideration or approaches to the property owners have not occurred, and there always is the potential litigation backdrop here, so we don't want to be doing any compromising of the tollless positions. So today, Joanne, if you'll explain to the directors in connection with our 294-57 project, you have some additional parcels which will be, I believe, at the end of the day, deferred to executive session within the full board for next week.
We have, and you've seen these resolutions before, they're either called amended Benedettos or additional identification of parcels. They essentially mirror the same resolution that we've done before that has provided us the authority. And for in this instance, at 294-57, we are merely adding additional parcels that are needed for the overall project. So while we've already identified a number of parcels, and those are actually publicized on our website after board action, once you approve that, then it becomes public knowledge and goes on our board. But before then, we discuss these parcels in executive session, and those that are added become added to the resolution.
If there are any questions for us on those topics?
I just want to... just like a case scenario with the chairman, to piggyback off of him, in case, say there is no mortgage in a house. Say, for example, I have a house that was $200,000, but because of the foreclosure problems and what's happened, and I have no mortgage, but now my house is worth $160,000. So I've lost $40,000 of my equity, but I have no plans on moving because I am so confident in the state of Illinois and the federal government that it's going to start raising back up, and this is my equity. This is my retirement or whatever. And the fair market value is on 160. But how do they get compensated for that if they're not really moving? There's no mortgage. I want to stay there because I believe that my house is going to be worth $200,000 5 or 10 years from now.
Do we just start at the 160? Your parcel needed for our respective project, let's say.
Yeah, and it's.
Well, yeah. If the appraised value comes in, we will offer you the appraised value. Now, if you have something that's relevant that you can offer that you would wish to negotiate with, that would make any sort of sense, then you would provide that to us, and we would go back to our appraiser and see what your documentation would support relative to either updating the appraisal. Does that increase the value? If that increased the value, then we would get an updated appraisal with that increased value, and then we would offer you that increased value.
now, arguably if it's truly a repressed situation such as what we're coming into in some of these particular projects where it was 200 and it's now 100,000, then we have a wonderful gal who's a relocation and negotiation specialist. She'll work with you and attempt to find you safe and sanitary replacement housing. Okay. And that's how it works.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Larry. Any, do we need to take any action on this item two?
I believe what we're going to do, Director, is in executive session make reference to these and request the this committee to move it to the board's executive session next week.
Very good.
So we'll have to come back into session after executive session to take that action, or take it now and we'll discuss it? What's your...
Probably after would be the most logical.
I'm just thinking of...
Press for time, which I suspect
we're
10
minutes over right
yes.
now. So
I think the identification can take all of about 30 seconds after we move into executive.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Then item number 10, any unfinished business? Anybody? Item 11, new business? There being none, do I hear a motion to go into executive session? All right, or do you need to make
Yes. Senior management of the tollway would recommend that we entertain a motion to move into executive session to discuss certain topics which are exceptions to the Open Meetings Act, including but not limited to litigation and potential litigation subjects.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we're in executive session. Thank you, everybody.